So, for 38 years, early in the morning, my brothers have carried me out here and just laid me here for all day. For 38 years, they get up first thing in the morning, even before the sun rises, and they've carried me on my mat. I can't walk on my own. And they've laid me here. And all you guys are here today, I don't know why, but here you are, you all look healthy. Because normally here at the Pool of Bethesda, it's just all people who are ill, people who have skin diseases, people who can't walk, people who have different needs. And the reason we gather here is because we keep our eye on that tree right there. And when the angel of the Lord comes down and shakes that tree and the leaves all move, there's a mad dash to be the first one to touch the tree. Because the legend is the first one who touches the tree is healed. So every day I'm here. Most people don't even notice me anymore. You guys all focused on me. Made it really awkward. I laid here looking at these people doing a concert here for some reason. They're not here every day. It's just normally me, others. We lay on these porches that are made of stone and they have a covering, so I'm not out in the sun all day. And I'm not out in the rain when it rains. But that tree is my only hope of healing. And I wait for those leaves to move. So you guys who are new here this morning are like, what the heck is going on? What? Why is that guy laying right in, out in front of them? I was a youth pastor for 25 years, so I do object lessons a lot.
Well, I knew what that one was.
You knew it. The guys who carried me on my mat a few weeks ago were nervous, like, oh, are we going to make this a habit? We got to carry him around? So today we're going to look at a story from Scripture of Jesus healing somebody. And throughout this series, we've been finding out that Jesus has been healing people and saying, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well, your belief. Today's story is not like that. The guy doesn't have any faith. And so if you want to look and look it up online, we're in John 5, 1 through 9 this morning. If you need our online bulletin, go to lovewestbrook.org and click where it says this morning's bulletin. And it will give you a fill in the blanks. Holly loves fill in the blanks. So we're going to do that again this morning. Fill in the blanks. And while I'm speaking here, I'm sure that Tom is going to bring me a music stand because we've run out again. Thanks, Tom. Tom is always on it. I love that. So have you ever been to a doctor's office? You're in the doctor's office, and you are miserable. You got goo coming out of your face. You're coughing. Thanks.
You're welcome.
You obviously are wheezing, and the doctor comes in, and he looks at you, and he says, so you're not feeling well? You went to medical school for that? Obviously. Or you come limping in and it's, yeah. So what seems to be the problem? Nothing. You come walking in with your arm hanging like this and broken. So what are you here for today? They're kind of frustrating. Sometimes the obvious question is the most important. And there was an obvious question that you'll see that Jesus asked in this story today. A very obvious question that we look at and go, well, duh.
Yeah.
So in John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says this. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men had been lying there and had been sick for 38 years. 38 years, can you guys imagine 38 years of this coming and waiting for that? 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? That's the obvious question. Would you like to get well? But I think it was a good question. Because sometimes, I think the answer is, no, I'm kind of comfortable in my illness. You know, those of us are people who have been in recovery. You got to that point where you finally said, I want to be well. I want to be well. Even though there might have been family members who asked, do you want to be well? Before that, no, I don't have a problem. I'm fine. Well, we can look at our patterns, things that we do. Do you want to be well? Sometimes the answer is, I'm good. Thanks. Move along. He said, I can't, sir, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Now, they didn't have a tree. They had a pool, a large pool of water, and they would all gather around and wait for the water to move, show some ripples, maybe some bubbles. And the legend at the time was that that was a divine angel coming down and making it, stirring it to say, okay, guys, healing's open. Come on, run in. But only the first person gets it. Only the first person gets it. Someone else always gets there before me. Well, again, duh, your legs don't work, your arms don't work. How are you going to get to the pool? You need somebody else to bring you. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. The guy stood up, followed instructions, picked up his mat, and started walking. So I'll see you later. That's basically what was happening. Now, look at this. This is amazing to me. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. Uh-oh. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to be carrying that mat. We've seen rigid people with rigid rules. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Like, it wasn't my fault. The guy who healed me told me to. It wasn't like, dude, I've been healed. I haven't been able to move for 38 years, and this guy healed me, and so now I have this mat to walk. He was like, whoa, don't blame me. The guy who healed me told me to walk. Who said such a thing as that? They demanded. This, the man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse might happen to you. Now let's pause right there, because I got to clarify something. Some people think that's a yikes verse, that Jesus is saying, I'm going to get you. If you don't start walking different, if you don't repent and change your life, and start walking and following me, oh boy, I'm going to get you. But that wasn't what Jesus was saying there. The worst that could happen is going through when we have healing and see a powerful work of Christ and it does nothing to change our life. So Jesus is talking about your soul being lost. He's not talking about, I'm going to make that big tree fall on your head. He's not talking about the way we think sometimes. All right? Then the man went and told on Jesus. That's what it says. Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who healed them. So they were mad at Jesus. Because Jesus healed the guy. The guy is walking around. And he rats Jesus out. Because he knows those guys are mad at him. We're going to talk about that. So I see a few things in this story this morning. The first thing I got to ask you is, are you focused on wiggly water? Are you focused on bubbling, wiggly water? What? And Bethesda actually means house of mercy. So there they are, the five colonnades with all these sick people. Crowd of people. We know there are a lot of people because Jesus disappeared into the crowd. So we know it was very crowded. They believe that that angel stirred the water. That's called superstition. The first person who gets in gets healed. Now, I'm laying here like that on my mat, unable to move. Who do you think the first person to get to the pool is? One of you guys. I mean, even Holly's beaten me to the pool. Right? Even, people who are healthy are the ones getting to the pool first. They're like, oh, I got a hangnail. I'm here for healing. They're able to run. They're able to move. They're able to. And so they would come out of the pool and say, "Woo, I feel better. I feel better." Well, you already felt darn good going in. And that's why you got there first. So what was actually happening to make the water move? Because it would move. And this has puzzled historians for years. Robin and I got to go to the site where this actually happened. We got to go to the site and stand there and look at it. And some historians believe that the pool was spring-fed and that every now and then the spring would bubble up and they would look and go, ooh, it's an angel, it's magic, we gotta get going, we gotta get down to that pool. Some say that because there was an elaborate water system through the temple going all the way back to the ancient kings, that was a fascinating part of our tour, going all the way back to the ancient kings, that the water was moving because it was demanded in the temple. We our tour guide was a Jewish Christian historian. He had two different PhDs. And so it was an awesome time because he was able to connect the Old Testament with the New Testament for us seamlessly. And it was just so awesome. And he gave us the legend of what was happening there that they believe. He said that it was near the sheep gate, right? The sheep gate was where they brought in the sheep for sacrifice. It was near the area of the temple where the sacrifices were done. And he described a system that archaeologists have not discovered to this day, but according to Jewish legend, that at the end of the day, when the sacrifices were done or when it was time to clean up, they would actually had a gate through the water feeding system where they would pull that open the gate to then wash away all the blood. Now, when that happened, it would cause, down the chain, the water to move. And that was their theory, okay? And what a lot of the Hebrew people say was happening. So I don't know. I don't know which one it was. I just know that Jesus walks into here and it's not the pool. right? It's not the pool. He'd been there for 38 years. Picture this, you go to the ER, you give them your name, you tell them what's going on, you're in the emergency department. And instead of calling your name, they just do a system where they yell, next, next. I tell you, there were times before my transplant, I would have sat there for days if that was the system of next, because I couldn't get there on my own power. How come Jesus noticed this guy? How come out of all the people there, Jesus noticed this guy? Again, we've seen through all our miracles all summer long, right? All looking at him, that there was part of Jesus where he felt it in his gut, where he would have compassion and he would look. And all we can do is assume he looked at this man and took compassion. I want you all to turn around and look at that right now. That doesn't bring you joy. I don't know what will. Okay, back here. Sorry, ADHD kicking in. Look at the kids. I just love the kids are learning together and growing together. I love the multi-age. I love that we have Daniel, who's a freshman.
Very cool.
This is big, helping out. I love when I see that. But anyway, back to that's a rabbit trail. That's like me seeing squirrel. Okay. So anyway, compassion. The compassion stirred him. And then he asks that bizarre question. Do you want to be well? Now notice that when Jesus healed him, how long did it take?
Immediately.
Instantly. Instantly. And you know what? There was no big show. Again, there was no big show. Jesus rises people from the dead with no big show. He heals people with no big show. He just does it because he has the authority. How do I know there's no big show? Because he disappeared into the crowd. He just kind of wandered off like, all right, hey, get up your mat and walk. And the guy gets up and walks while Jesus is walking away. Like, man, I got other people to see. I don't know if he healed other people while he was there. I know he didn't do a one sweeping, you all are healed. I don't know why he chose certain people to heal. I don't know why. This man's faith obviously didn't make him well. This man was sitting there going, the pool is going to make me well. The wiggly water is going to make me well. That's what I need. And Jesus shocked him by making him well. It's interesting to me that the second thing is the guy doesn't even say thank you. He doesn't even say thank you. And I wonder when I read that, is that like us? You know, sometimes when things are going well and everything's good, I just don't spend a whole lot of time in giving thanks. When things are going bad, I spend a ton of time worrying and pleading with God. Right? I spend that time. So after healing, the man doesn't even thank Jesus. And I think sometimes we're so quick to enjoy God's blessing without acknowledging the giver. You know what I'm saying? We're so quick. Gratitude is not automatic. It's a choice. It's a discipline. So here's a thought. We can receive from God and still miss his heart if we forget gratitude. We can receive from God and not even recognize that's coming from God. Yesterday, Roland and I and David, we went to an excellent navigators training that was over at Summit Church. And one of the things that they said really stood out to me in particular. I wrote it down. Russ, the director and navigator, said, anxiety and thanksgiving cannot exist in the same space. We're either focusing on our anxiety or we're focusing on our thanksgiving. They can't exist in the same place. As one of them shows up, the other one goes out. Right? And as someone who has struggled passed with anxiety. I'm like, you know what? That is one of the tools in my toolbox that as I met with my counselor that we worked on. Getting the switch from my brain focusing on this and getting it instead to focus on this. To focus on the Thanksgiving. So, Jesus proves the power isn't in superstition. It made me think, what are some of our modern superstition? What are some of the things that we're, the wiggly water that we're focusing on that's going to be the answer for us? Now, I listed a few of them. If I just get the right promotion, then I'll be happy. This one, I hear it a lot lately. If I just manifest good vibes, the universe will reward me. So all the power is right here, right? In that one. I can manifest it, and the universe will reward me for it. If I just do everything perfectly as a parent, my kids will turn out okay. I always ask parents when they've got a kid who's going off the rails, and they're like, what did we do? I say, tell me the most perfect parent ever. And they say, well, it has to be God. And I said, how'd his kids do? And they're like, oh, yeah. See, God has wired us that each of us has the ability to choose one way or the other, right? He's given that to us. And so we can do everything right, and still our kids go off the rails, and we wonder, why is that happening? And we pray that they're going to return later. So Jesus looks at all these superstitions that we have, all these things that we think are just going to make us happy. If I can just get this, if I can just get that, if I can just do this, all my problems will be solved. And he says, stop looking at the wiggly water. Start looking at me. You know, spiritual things are booming right now. Barna has shown that among younger generations, 30 and below, there's really a big interest in spiritual things. Now, that's good and bad. It's kind of like the time of Paul, where they would go in the community square and talk about everything. Everything. So the good is that for some, they're interested in what this Jesus thing is. Russ was telling us yesterday that he had a student that he'd heard of or came up to him, and actually came up to his daughter, I think it was, and said, how do I Jesus? That was how he phrased it. How do I Jesus? Okay. I've had two different people over the last few months out of the blue call me and say, hey, I just have a lot of questions about all this Jesus stuff and about all this faith stuff. Could we talk about it? I'm getting together with two different men, you know, every other week or so, and we're just talking about who Jesus is and what he says and what he did and how it's different. But because spiritual things are big right now, some of the things that are out there that are just as big. You know, mediums are big right now. Go to a medium. Talk to the dead. You'll get a message from your mother, from somebody. You're going to get a message. And here's what I know about the truth of mediums. They will take your money 7 days a week. They will take your money 7 days a week and say things to you. And put on quite a big show. Remember, Jesus didn't do the show. And Jesus doesn't charge. You think, how much money could Jesus have raked in at the pools of Bethesda? Man, that guy, he was a terrible business person. Because he could have just been like, ladies and gentlemen, watch what I'm doing. Make sure camera one, you got the angle on this. Make sure the website is up on the bottom, on the crawler, on the screen. And here we go. Pick up your mat and walk. Do, 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 do. All right, who's next? $10. Jesus doesn't charge. Doesn't even charge for salvation. Says it is a free gift of God to all who would believe. For by grace you've been saved by faith. And that's not anything you've done. It is a gift of God. And the reason for this is because I know you'd brag about it. You'd be like, look what I earned. I earned salvation. All about me. That's big. Even it's a big thing now with some of the project graduations where they're like, we got a medium that's going to be there for 3 hours, too. You can get your tarot card reading. They'll take your money all the time. How about this one? People are buying spices, sage, to clean their area, clean the energy. And they go around, they burn sage, and I need to just, the negative vibes here, just that. Negative vibes are scared of sage. I do not know why. They're not scared of lavender. Maybe they like lavender. I don't know. Whatever you're burning in your oils, your diffuser, make sure it's not one they like. Your bad energy lights. You don't want that. That's superstition. It's superstition. How about the people who are paying good money for crystals? This crystal gives me protection. This crystal gives me energy. This crystal keeps me well. This crystal, and you know what about them? They'll take your money every day of the week and sell you more powerful ones. So I look at all these things, psychics and horoscopes, and I see our society getting into these spiritual things and thinking these are going to give us the answer. They're looking at wiggly water. They're waiting for the leaves to go and go, wow, look at that. That's magic. And you go, no, that's wind. That's called wind. Because Jesus comes walking in with power and authority, and he heals. Jesus comes walking in with power and authority and changes lives and gives new life. Fourth thing I see in this story is, I need to ask, is Jesus more concerned with the letter of the law or the heart of the law? Heart of the law. Do you know that Jesus ticked off the rule keepers at least six major times by doing stuff on the Sabbath? He had healings on the Sabbath. And they picked grain on the Sabbath because they were hungry. And the rule, the people who were in charge of the rules had taken it to the point that it was so focused on the rule that it was missing the common sense of God's heart, his love. So they're totally obsessed with the rule book, and they miss the miracle. How do you see a guy who hasn't walked in 38 years walk, and you're mad that he's carrying his mat? I mean, my first question would be like, what happened? What happened? Their first question is, what are you doing carrying that mat? You're not supposed to carry that mat. See, Jesus prioritized mercy, compassion, and doing God's work over ritual observance. His actions clarified that, as it says in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made that we would set time aside to rest. We would set time aside to focus on God. That we would have something different. The Sabbath was meant to be a gift. So Jesus prioritizes mercy over ritual. See, Jesus' compassion as we go through these miracles always, always seems to put people first. Touches dead stuff, which is against the rules, and brings life to it. Remember we talked about when he's raised people from the dead? So, this morning, I think Jesus asks to each of us, do you want to get well? not just physically. Okay? But a lot of times he's like, is it easier to say get up and walk or your sins are forgiven? He's saying he's more concerned with our eternal than our quick healing. This guy who was healed, he still died. Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, he still died. All right? That's going to come. But when we, the Bible says, repent, which just basically means if you're walking this direction, you turn and you walk the other direction. You have a whole different paradigm that says, I'm going to focus on Christ. Those guys are getting healed. Darn it. Okay. So don't miss the healer because you're stuck in superstition or legalism. So here's my call to action, my thing that I ask you to do this week. Number one, ask yourself, where do I need healing? Where do I need action in my life? It might be something that's been going on for years that you've never dealt with, but you're saying, where do I need it? Jesus is asking, do you want to be well? You know, it's for those of us, our men here, we know Satan uses a huge temptation of that computer. That computer. And that's there, and it's temporarily satisfying, but it's a counterfeit that ultimately causes danger, you know, causes damage. It weakens our marriages. Do you want to be well? You want to deal with it? Maybe it's, you know, I every night I have wine with dinner. This was my sister's husband. He had wine with dinner. Glasses like this big. Like, he's a little woman. Have you become dependent on that? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? The second thing, I want you to ask, what mat am I still lying on that Jesus is telling me to pick up? What mat am I still lying on that Jesus wants me to pick up? And Jesus says, I want you to walk. I want you to go. And I want you to go and put your life into action that's honoring, and you're called to do what I've been doing. The third thing. Will you thank and trust him and walk with him? Or are you going to keep staring at wiggly water? What's the wiggly water you've been staring at? So, let's close with a word of prayer and head out. Lord God, I thank you that scripture time and again shows us your heart for us. We see it in Jesus' compassion time after time. And here he heals a man who doesn't even believe in him. Lord, that compassion that he says, here's someone who's been struggling with this for 38 years. That's amazing. And God, all those people who knew that man from then on were asking, what happened? Lord, I pray that even this week, we might consider where each of us needs action in our life, where what our mats are, what you're telling us to pick up. And Lord, let us focus on where we're just so focused on wiggly water. That is nothing more than wiggly water, and put our trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, guys.